Good morning. This is the Sports Card Strategy Show, episode,
84.
And you get the privilege of having me and Dr. Crack Chad here with his brick wall and his Graybo shirt on, which if you're used to Paul Hickey in the mornings on Monday mornings, I was missing last week. And now we're missing Paul Hickey. He's on a retreat / vacation with his daughter. And I said, brother, enjoy those moments and let us work on the podcast while you enjoy spending some time with your daughter. So we're not even worried in the slightest. We believe that we got it. And good morning and happy Memorial Day for everybody out there. So,
yeah, thank you to all our veterans. Happy Memorial Day.
Yeah, so Chad, looks like you're in a different place.
I'm at home today, and everybody's used to my red wall, so I went and found this virtual red brick wall. I didn't want people to be disappointed and see my house. I did find one where there was like this million-dollar mansion that looked like a grand piano in the background. I thought about that, and then I thought, too many rumors would start.
Cracking slabs is really profitable. That's awesome, man. Well, glad you're still with us this morning. Getting the day off sounds like a good plan. Talk about the shirt you got on.
Well, thank you to Duke and Graybo's. Duke was kind enough to send that in my box of two Inception universities that we got from him. Got a couple of stickers from him, but I wanted to represent Duke on the show this morning, so thanks for the t-shirt.
Yeah, I almost wore mine as well, except for a massive weekend for the Toffees, staying up in the top flight with a massive 3 points. Leicester City went up in the first half, and forced our hand. We had to win, and we did. So up the Blues, up the Toffees. The spirit of the Blues was high yesterday. I'm still living in it. We got a lot of room to go still in the Premier League. I know you probably don't care about that, Chad, but I care a lot. So I'm wearing the Toffee shirt today, and we're still in the top flight for 2024.
That's a big deal, not getting sent down. That was kind of nip and tuck there for a while.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely close. So I want to take a moment while you are wearing your Graybo's card to talk a little bit about them. So let me jump to this real quick. Graybo's Sports Cards, they're a local hobby shop owned by Gray Burnett, Ryan Fitz, and Duke Denny One Time Dodson, located in the Arts District in Richmond, Virginia. Graybo's Sports is the best selection of raw and graded singles in the Mid-Atlantic, and a wide variety of wax. Listeners of the Sports Card Strategy Show can receive a 10% discount on any purchase on graybos.com by ordering, or graybos.co by ordering, entering the code strategy 2023. Graybo's will begin breaking 7 days a week on one of their major platforms in June, which is pretty much this week. So stay tuned for that news. And you can follow all of Graybo's news and updates on Instagram at graybos_.com. We love what they're doing here. Get the 10% off at graybos.co. Graybo's.co strategy 2023 is the code that you will have there. So thank you, Denny, one time. We both ordered our Bowman Inception boxes from you. Getting some stickers was super fun. I was able to push you out on some on Twitter and Instagram. A lot of people liking that as well. So Denny One Time and the family down at Graybo's, thanks for supporting us and being our lead sponsor. We love having you.
Yeah, if you need anything for sports cards, the customer service is unbelievable. They get back to you instantly. It was very good experience.
Yeah. Yeah, we love having him on the show. He's pretty much a family member at this point. You know, we are in. He loves the show. He is able to just join in and get the LWs, buy sales. I mean, it's like having a regular old dude on the show, which is awesome. We love having people and partners that are that committed to what we're doing. Speaking of cool opportunities, you can get unlimited personalized advice at nooffseason.com where we can help you build your sports card portfolio and investments. Where we have a lot of you guys out there that are trusting us, but you can get a three free 30-day trial now at nooffseason.com, where we will lean in with you and help you look at your portfolios. We want to spend some time with you specifically. You've got three of us here that do investments in three different ways, and we want to begin to help you look at your portfolio and figure out whether modeling one of ours is the way you want to do it or whether you find a unique strategy that works for you. We want to help you kind of talk through some of that stuff and be a sounding board. So, Dr. Chad, what if you had to change... This is a random question. If you had to change one thing about your card life in the past 10 years, what would you have changed?
Oh, gosh. One thing in the last 10 years. It's a tough question. You're starting me off with a tough one here.
Hey, dude, it was right off the dome.
That's awesome, man. If I could do one thing differently in the last 10 years, I probably would have tried to get more of the cards before they blew up, the, you know, like a like the Mahomes. I would have collected Mahomes. I've got a couple of Mahomes rookie cards back in 17. I look at the prices 10 years ago, you could have still, you realize in 10 years ago, so in 2013, you could have picked up a 1952 Mickey Mantle Topps in PSA 1. Okay, now that's not the greatest grade, but it's still the most iconic card of all. In 2013, you could have picked up that card for about 15 grand.
Wow.
Today, that in a PSA 1, that card sells for 50.
Wow.
So if I could go back in the time machine, I'd buy some of that stuff that... I'd have to have today's knowledge to do it. I don't think I'd do anything different if I didn't have today's knowledge. I think I navigated pretty well. But if you could go back in time, man, I'd be buying up that stuff like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like the best answer. It also seems like the easiest answer.
What would you do different?
Well, I honestly, what I was thinking was very similar. I would just look at getting some Bowman first Mike Trout autos.
Oh, you know, yeah.
And, I mean, that's 10 years ago. It's 2 years of him in the major leagues. And, I mean, those are pretty rare. So, but I love that Mickey Mantle 52 card. That's my grail someday is to have one of those for myself. So
I've got two 53s, but I don't have a 50-52. I'd love to get one someday. I also... You know, with over a million cards of mine and my PC, I don't have a Mike Trout rookie card. Not a Topps update one. I've got his actual Topps with the rookie card logo or whatever, but that's actually a second year card. Mike Trout rookie, that's a good call.
Last summer I was talking to a buddy of mine and he was just like, "Hey, like you're into cards, right?" I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, I found some of my old cards I used to collect, and then I collected like a little bit when I was in high school and opened up my old cards and look at this one I found. And it was a Bowman rookie card, 2011, the green border one, you know, like,
wow.
And I was like, holy cow, dude, you know, like that's worth some money. And he was just like, well, you know, like how much? Like it's just, it literally was sitting raw in a shoebox.
Wow.
And I was like, well, I mean, I'd pay you like $400 for it. And he was just like, okay. So I paid $400 for it, which was like, I think 30 or 40 bucks underneath market price at the time. Ended up sending it off to PSA, got a PSA 9 back. And then his market dropped because of the back injury, which was an unfortunate time for me. But I ended up getting 400 back out of it. If I'm going to keep a card like that, I want to have a 10. So, yeah. But it's just like that stuff happens. Like there are shoe boxes out there. I just bought we bought a collection earlier this weekend of a guy, and he has just a shoe box full of Clemente cards. Like authentic 60s Clemente cards. It's just like that stuff's still out there.
I had a guy contact me from Fond du Lac this week that he's in his 60s and his mom passed away and they were cleaning out her house and he had forgot he had a shoebox full of cards in the attic. And he's like, are any of these things worth anything? And it was just a box full of raw 60s baseball cards. And there were a few in there with some value to them. So I'm going to hook him up and I'm going to get some of them graded for him and help him out and help him sell them. But awesome. He's just, I mean, that stuff does still happen. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and jump into our L of the week. So Chad, I know I've got 150 L's of the week and I'm just going to try to choose a couple of them. It's one of those weeks for me. But go ahead and talk about your L of the week.
All right. Well, my L of the week it's not huge. I've been doing pretty well, so I haven't had too many big L's, but this one here, in anticipation that this was going to be Carmelo Anthony's last year and he was going to retire, I went and I bought several Carmelo Anthony rookie cards and had them graded. And I got them back from PSA in time for his announcement, and his cards did go up like anticipated. Wah, wah, wah. I didn't get any PSA 10s. I got all 8s and 9s. I pretty much got my money out of all of them, except I had one upper deck that got a PSA 7. I paid $10 for it, so with grading, I had about $30 in it. Sold it for $18, so I netted $14 and a $16 loss. And if it wasn't for his cards going up, I probably would have lost about $200 on that 10-card play. As it turns out, I lost about $50 with shipping on the 10 cards. But that's my L of the week. I thought I had a brilliant play, and it worked out to perfection and everything except for the fact I did not get the grades I needed.
Yeah, I recently had a 20 card lot come back and I did well. I didn't get anything under a 9, which is which is preferred. But I didn't pop as many 10s as I wanted. And this was like, I know this is going to sound crazy from somebody like you, but it's the first one that the first selection that I put in that I took time to look at each card before I sent it, rather than just being like, oh, I don't care, I'll just send it no matter what. Like, I took some time to intentionally look at the details and look at the surface grading and all that kind of stuff before I sent it off, and I cleaned them with a microfiber cloth and whatever. And so I didn't get under a 9, which is pretty fine. But I didn't pop any 10s, and I was looking for some 10s on, like, I'm investing pretty heavily in Mason Hour, which is a Rays prospect, and had a couple of his color autos come back 9s. So I was a little bit bummed about that because I'm pretty much just going to relist those. But yeah, so a tough PSA submission can just really get your day going in the wrong direction. So my L of the week, I had a couple of them, you know, like I'm just going to mention a few, and pretty much they all center around Wembanyama. Like, we've invested a lot of our show over the last 6 months into talking about plays that we can make around this once in a generation potential prospect, once in a lifetime, this is the only time this has happened player. But so we went out and got some Bowman U boxes and an L of the week. And I'm sure you guys mentioned this last week, but an L of the week for me is the way that Topps handled him having redemption autos in it, and then also like running out another product like a week later and not being very clear. I mean, I know that we talked about that offline a little bit, but just the process of Topps not being very clear with us about what was going to be in the product, and then having hot cases and not mixing them like very evenly or something like that. I'm a little bit bummed at some of my selection. I wanted to potentially have an opportunity at a Wemby auto, and now that it's a redemption, that's two products this year that I've been very excited about that's come back with the product is a redemption auto. I was really excited about Spencer Jones in 2023 Bowman, and his is a redemption auto. I mean, fair enough. I was excited about Xavier Isaac, who's also a redemption auto in Bowman 23. And then you look out here and you see Wembanyama as a redemption auto. You see Spencer Jones. And I submitted a redemption in 2021 in December. Still have not received a card back from that. And so, like, I'm not interested in buying redemptions anymore. I really believe that this is, like, the worst part of the hobby is, like, scammers on eBay and redemption autos. Like, I'm just not a fan at all.
Yeah, I actually have a redemption out there longer than that. I've got an Eloy Jimenez 2019 Topps Chrome auto, supposed to be numbered to 10. Still is unfilled. When I go in and I click on it, it says in process still. So I won't do in redemptions anymore. If I get a redemption card, I just list it and sell it. I have no interest in a redemption.
Yeah.
I assume they don't even put them in there.
Yeah. It's such a tough thing. Like, maybe one thing that they might be able to do in the future that would be cool. Like, what if, so I'm sitting here looking at just a Bowman paper, Josh Young, just a regular card, maybe $5-$10 at this point, 'cause he's playing really well. But I'm thinking about, like, what if they put, so say they get their autos back, you know, several years down the road. What if they just ended up putting the 2019 auto, whenever they get it, in a 2024 set? So you're flipping through and all of a sudden it's like a totally, obviously it's a different card, but people would be pretty excited about having.
Oh, that'd be a chase.
I mean, like, especially if they just were like, hey, we're just going to include redemption autos whenever they come in. I would prefer that.
I would too. I mean, think about like the 91 Upper Deck baseball where you had a chance to find a Nolan Ryan autograph.
Yeah.
That was a huge chase. It's the only reason that those boxes today sell for $30, you know, that a box like that would sell for nothing because they printed a million of them. That would be a huge chase. I like that idea. Fanatics, if you're listening to Lefty McKee, do what he says. It's a great idea.
We know you are. You're obviously listening. But so my Bowman U was a loss just because, like, I wanted it to be something different. Not that it wasn't a cool product and that I am not for it going forward. I mean, the Caitlin Clark stuff looks awesome. I'm probably going to go out and get a Caitlin Clark auto when the market calms down a little bit. But Wembanyama. And then my other L of the week also centers around Wembanyama. You know, we have this Sports Illustrated for Kids cards, and Paul talked about all of his, like, a massive play that he made on it. Well, I have one. And so I bought it for like $43 and I listed it the day before the draft, and it ended up running up to about $270. Which I was super impressed with. I was like, that's awesome. And the guy just never paid, never commented, never paid, never nothing. And I couldn't cancel it until today. I actually couldn't cancel it until the 29th. And so I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I guess I'm just going to relist it, maybe for a buy it now at significantly lower than that, because I'm in the profit on it. I hate that people don't pay, but more than that, I hate that they don't talk to me. Like, if you're not gonna pay, just cancel the listing, you know? Like, if you cancel the listing day one, if you're not gonna pay. I had to wait 7 days before eBay was like, yeah, you're not gonna get dinged if you cancel this order, blah, blah. You know, like, that's just, it's frustrating, because now the hype cycle is, obviously his hype cycle is still here, but it's just not the same.
I don't right or wrong, I don't wait 7 days. I tell everybody on day two, hey, it's been 2 days. I have not heard from you. I have not thing. You've got till the end of tomorrow. I give you 72 hours to pay. If you don't pay within 72 hours, I'm canceling this. And I cancel and I put in there buyer requested, so it doesn't ding me. It dings the buyer.
Yeah.
And then, well, I get the buy. Then if the guy was serious, then I'll get a buyer going, hey, you just dinged me. I still wanted that card. And I'm like, hey, I sent you three communications. If you still want it, I'll sell it to you. But then they're usually pissed off and they don't buy it. But I don't think they ever had the intention.
Yeah. Yeah, and so like just the eBay auction with the Wembanyama, it left a sour taste in my mouth. I've had a lot of cards that have been on auction or been on eBay recently, and I've been able to move quite a few of them, not like big cards, just $10, $20, $30 cards. And I just want to point out that I love using eBay. Like, I do love using eBay, but this is the dark side of it, unfortunately. So
for sure.
My last L of the week is Sokka Sokka cards just took a hit over the last couple of weeks. I was kind of relying on Sokka and Arsenal winning the Premier League when I bought into him. And then I was relying on Manchester City winning the Champions League. That was like best case scenario for me and my card portfolio. I ended up buying into some Sokka cards. I bought into Vinny Jr. and Sokka maybe in March. And then I already had some Haalands. And so I was like, okay, this will be nice. You know, best case scenario, Arsenal wins the Premier League. Manchester City wins the Champions League and they play against Real Madrid in the final and Vinny Jr. does well. So, you know, that would be best case scenario. Well, that did not happen. Real Madrid and Manchester City played in the semifinals, unfortunately. I did make some money on a Vinny Jr. card. I got out of that at the right time. I never planned to get out of my Haaland cards, even now. This guy's amazing, so I'm just going to hold. And then Sokka is taking a big hit, unfortunately. Arsenal just poo-pooed on themselves late in the season. And I know we got some soccer fans out here. Sure. If you're a soccer fan, go ahead and drop some comment. I know that Southern Soccer Idiot might be listening. It was a great Champions Sunday. Like we talked about earlier, Everton came out with a win. But Sokka cards took a massive hit, and that is an L of the month for me. So,
I was fortunate enough that I sold out of all but one of my Sokka cards. I've got one left, so that'll be a future L for me when that goes.
Yeah. What do you have?
I've got a Aqua. I forget what the Aquas are numbered to, number to 75 or something like that. PSA 10.
Yeah, I have a PSA 9 Prism Auto out of 99. So, I mean, pretty decent card. I like it. It's going for around, the last sold was a raw for like 350. Which is fine. That's about what I paid for the PSA 9. So, I mean, but another unfortunate thing is people don't realize it's a silver out of 99 and there's an out of 270 or something that's like looks exactly the same. And so people are offering me the price for that one.
So it's a green. I just looked it up. It's a green Deco number to 99.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, there will be a future for him. And so I'm not going to sell early on my Sokka card. I don't usually buy nines, but this has such a low pop count. It's an out of 99, and I think the 10s listed above that, maybe there's like two or three of them. So, you know, I'm fine with this nine. It's coming in with a Sokka auto. Sokka's more than young enough to be back on the main stage. Arsenal is, you know, not going anywhere per se. Unfortunately, they're going to have to deal with the giants of Manchester City from now on. Let's go ahead and say good morning to a couple of our listeners. Obviously, Shoes is on here. Let's listen to some dudes rant about sports cards. Shoes, we love you. Happy Memorial Day. Thanks for showing up and being with us, even when our fearless captain, Paul Hickey, is not with us. Brian, a Steeler 714. Good morning, sports cards. Thank you, man. I thank you for Chad, this is something funny that, you know, you don't think you're going to be missed. You think, oh yeah, the sports card strategy show is just going to go on right without me. There were several people last week that were like, hey man, are you okay? Why aren't you on the sports card strategy show? I was like, you know what? Thank you. I appreciate it, but I'm at a conference for work. So, it was good. So good morning, guys. Good morning. We got Legacy Sports Card 704 chiming in about Sokka. Nice player for sure. As long as Haaland is on City, that supporting cast with Pep as the manager will be hard for anyone to beat out. City over 38 matches, Sokka will be in Euros for England. Yeah, see, that's exactly why I'm going to hold on to Sokka. I believe he's got stuff in the future. And I like the card. So it's one of those cards that I'm not upset about holding, but I am upset about not profiting, I guess, if that makes sense. But I did get out on Vinny Jr. I did make a little bit of green there. So let's go ahead and jump to W's of the week. Let me find our slide here. W of the week, Chad, please tell me you have something good.
I do. I wish Paul was here because he laughed hard at me. If you saw my one video on a show and tell a couple weeks ago, I think I've messaged you about it as well. I tell everybody, don't get into Leaf Metal. Don't do it. It's not investable. But I was on Whatnot, and I got caught up, and I'm like, gosh, those autos are cheap. And I bought seven of them. I sold three of them this week, and I made about $30 a piece on them. So I'm feeling pretty good about my Leaf Metal autos right now.
What players were they?
There was the three that I sold this week were Doc Gooden, Curtis Mead, and Jordan Lawler.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, we talked briefly on Instagram, and probably should get your phone number at some point because Instagram messaging is how we communicate. Yeah. But we always recommend not going with Panini. You know, that's just a classic sports card show recommendation for us, is that especially with baseball, we stay with licensed products. But those Leaf Metal, I mean, you can get a chance to buy in pretty low. People still like the look, and those are still big names. You know, Curtis Mead, Jordan Lawler are guys that are going to be major leaguers and probably going to be major league stars. I mean, Lawler's worrying me a little bit, but still, like, he's a top five draft pick, you know? And so it's just like, those guys are going to be incredible. So good names to get out of there. Good names to get a couple of bucks on, and whatnot. But Chad, how does somebody like Dr. Crack get suckered into a Whatnot auction?
I buy a lot of stuff. I'm actually doing a future show and tell episode. I don't know if it'll be this week or next week, but I'm going to do a show and tell on how to do Whatnot. And it'll be in the next couple of weeks. It's coming. I'm trying to put some footage together so it looks good. I spend a lot of time on Whatnot. If I'm sitting at home with my 7-year-olds watching a TV show that has no interest in mine because the 7-year-olds are, you know, like a Blue's Clues or something like that, I'm sitting there holding them, watching, snuggling, having a good family time, and I got my phone in my right hand and I'm watching Whatnot or scrolling through eBay or I spend way too much time looking for cards, that's for sure.
Hey, man, we all spend way too much time looking for cards. That's why we're here. That is why we have this show. But my win of the week is some of those good grades of the PSA that I talked about. A bulk submission came back. I was able to pull a PSA 10 out of a Rose Lavelle auto that I had. She's a stellar addition to the United States Women's National Team. That's World Cup is going to start in July. I have her and Alex Morgan, Sophia Smith, and Trinity Rodman ready to for those expectations of those cards going up during the World Cup. So popping a PSA 10 on one of my raw autos I had, pretty fun for me. I also popped a PSA 10 on my first O'Neill Cruz auto that I ever bought. So
is
I ended up
first. Is that a 16?
Yep.
You got a 10 on that, man? Congrats. Holy crap, that's a big card.
Yeah, so I bought this raw like when we first started talking about him on the Sports Card Strategy Show about a year and a half, and I was afraid to send it off because I was afraid that if it came back worse than a 10, I would just want to sell it immediately. And I was like, this card is a little bit sentimental for me because, one, you know, it's just super cool that his name is spelled wrong. It's super cool that he is a guy that I love watching. It's just like there's a lot of things with this card that I love a lot. And I've moved on from every one of my O'Neill Cruz cards except for the first one I ever bought. And so, I got it in at the $16 submission or whatever. And I was like, shoot, you know, like it's been enough time now. If I pop a PSA 9, I'm still glad I have it. And so it came back a 10, man. And so I'm pretty thankful, and I love this card. I think it's awesome, and I'm glad I have a 10. So that's a huge W for me. I ended up popping two PSA 10s as well for two of two of my refractor firsts from Julio Rodriguez and Josh Young. Just some cards I had just sitting in my collection box, like just some. So what I do is I put every Bowman card in a box that I want to keep. I have an AL bulk, an NL bulk, a Rangers PC four row, you know, cardboard box. And then I have Bowman firsts, basically any color or any chrome first that I want to keep to invest wise. For instance, I found a bunch of Christopher Morel cards in there that were all sapphire first that I had collected. And I didn't even, you know, I just put them in there because they were color firsts. And then last year when he got called up, now this year he's going bananas. But last year when he got called up, I was looking through that. I was like, I have like 16 sapphire Morel firsts that were going for like $10 a piece. So I just sold them all. And so it's like, that's what I do with my color first. I just put them all in there. And then every once in a while, I just thumb through it and see what's in there. But so I looked through there and I had a refractor first of Josh Young and a refractor first of Julio Rodriguez, sent them off. Both of those popped a 10 as well. And then this is my real win of the week. And I would say this is my play of the week, my buy as well. So if you're okay, I'm just going to move to buy of the week. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is who I'm buying. These cards right here, 2019 Fernando Tatis Jr. Chrome rookie cards. I am buying these like they're going out of business. At one point, I think this card was worth like almost $200, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the exact look. I have an average of $58 invested with shipping and taxes in each of these PSA 10 chromes. These are like, and they're getting cheaper because they're just flying off the shelves right now. And so the demand is there. And so people are willing to move it because they've been holding this card forever. I don't care if I have to hold it for 5 more years. This guy's going to be a stud in the major leagues. Of sure, the Padres are a mess right now, but they're not always going to be a mess. And Tatis is a guy that's previously been shouldering the MLB. And I believe he will shoulder the MLB again in the future. And of course he's got some off the field problems, but I'm willing to take a $50 jump on a Chrome PSA 10 of his.
Absolutely. It's funny that you mentioned that card, cause I just bought one of them last night myself, because I couldn't believe how cheap it was.
What'd you pay for it?
$47.
Yeah, see? Like, you can get them good deals right now.
Yeah, it was 58 with shipping.
Yeah. So that essentially that's where I'm getting mine at. I'm getting them between 63 and 58, shipping included. And I'm just at this point, me and there's a guy that I talk to pretty regularly that's a sports card strategy show. I think it's Al. Let me get it right. I don't want to mess up it. Scott LA is who I talk to on Twitter. He's a big guy out in California that I talk to a lot. He's an Angels fan, so me and him talk about the Angels and the Rangers a lot. But he has 10 of them, and I have 6 of them at this point. And so we're just hoping that he comes around, I believe he will. So I've been collecting PSA 10 chromes. Topps Chrome 2019 Tatis Jr. sideways cards. It's an iconic card, I believe. And if I have to hold them, then I will.
Yeah. I'm not raining on the Tatis, cause I bought one last night, but, I don't think that that's your crescendo for your wins of the week, that a J-Rod refractor auto first and an O'Neill Cruz auto first. I mean, come on, man.
It's just a
refractor first. Oh, I thought that was an auto, but that O'Neill Cruz, O'Neill Cruz right now is one of my, he's a second, my son's second favorite player in the major leagues behind Acuna. And I've gotten him a few Acuna autos over the years and rookie cards, but the O'Neill, last year I got him a Topps rookie, and he's like, "Dad, but I really want that Bowman first." And
of course,
man, they are so expensive. I just haven't pulled the trigger. His birthday's coming up in September, so I've been on the watch for one. So you got me salivating here at your 10, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, if it's not who I'm buying, though, I'll tell you that. I mean,
Well, right now is not the bad. I mean, yeah, I've been watching.
Actually, yeah.
But his that's the one card. I mean, his cards are falling pretty significantly. That card is holding. It's gone down maybe $25 in the last since his injury. And it's like, come on, man, let the bottom fall out of that so I can get one for my kid. Don't these people know that my kid wants one?
Don't they know that my son?
Don't they know?
Don't they know that my son wants one and I would buy 10 of them and reinvest? You know. No, yeah. So, that's why I put it more into who I'm buying. Although I do like buying into O'Neal Cruz right now, and we've talked about him having a moment here where he's got, especially with the broken leg and coming back, and the Pirates are still playing well without him. So I can imagine when he comes back, they're going to be in that wild card hunt. I imagine, but O'Neal Cruz definitely is a guy that I would be buying right now. Not that card, but I would be buying some of the cards around him. So who are you buying?
Well, I've got two that I just recently bought. So this is literally who I'm buying. But I'm not a huge LaMelo Ball fan, but I know Paul really likes him. We've got him ranked pretty high on our basketball rankings. Right now is not the time to be buying basketball. However, is it? The guys that have been eliminated, him with the injury, I couldn't believe how cheap these were. So I bought five of them last night just because when I saw how cheap it was, I'm like, are there any others out there that cheap? And I'll be doggone there was. His 2020 Optic Hollow. And I'm a sucker for the Optic Hollows. I like the Optic Hollows better than the Prism Silvers or anything. I don't know what it is about the Optic Hollows. I really like the Optic Hollows in football, basketball, baseball, whatever. I like the Optic Hollows.
Yeah.
Old baseball or unlicensed. They're just something about Optic Hollows. They look good. So this card 2 months ago was selling for $20 a piece. In December, the card was selling for $70 a piece. Raw. This is raw, not graded. A year ago, that card was selling for $100 a card.
Man.
I bought five of them last night for an average of $1.50 a piece.
No. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Auctions starting at $1 and I just put in $5. I won five auctions last night. One of them I got for opening bid of $1.
Wow.
I'm averaging. I didn't pay the most expensive one I paid was $3.25.
Can you imagine if that returns to what it was and you get 70X on that card?
Well, not to mention if they look good when I get them, I'm going to grade them if I can get some 10s.
Wow.
I mean,
Chad, that's huge.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. So a potential play for our listeners, if you're watching, basketball's not the right time of year, but if you can buy LaMelo Ball Optic Hollows for under $5, I don't care what time of year it is, it's too low of a risk to not take that chance.
That's crazy. So, and you know that those cards are going to be sitting in a case somewhere with a $20-$25 sticker on them at the National, and you're just going to be like, I got that card for $1.
Yeah, I mean when I got the first one, I thought it was a fluke, right?
Yeah.
Thought, wow, somebody was sleeping. It wasn't even like a late night. I was buying them last night at 7 o'clock Central time, and the last one I bought was at 10:30. So it wasn't like it was one of these 1 a.m. specials that I do. Yeah. This was prime time, and they've fallen that far. It's unbelievable. The other one that I bought last night, and I'm a little nervous because it's coming from Hong Kong, but I've had good success overseas before, and I sell internationally. So, you know, you got to take your chances once in a while. And this is another basketball card, so I don't know why I'm buying basketball right now when I say it's not, but when you see something and it's just too cheap, you know, you got to do it. I bought a Ja Morant fast break photo variation layup, silver prism PSA 10 last night. I got it for $149.
Wow.
That card 1 year ago was selling for $1,500.
Sheesh.
3 months ago, that card was selling for $500. I have another one that in my personal collection that I bought about a year and a half ago, and I paid $350 for that one, and I felt like I stole that one at the time. At $140, I was the only bidder. It had opening bid $149, and there's like 8 minutes to go, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know if it's because it's in Hong Kong or what, but I'm going to hit it and just see what happens. And I hit it. Nobody else got, and $149. I know Ja Morant's a risky play right now, but if you can stomach the risk, his PSA 10 silver prisms, I might be buying one of them too. They're down under, I watched one last night, ended at $395. I mean, that card had never been below $1,000 before this season. And then just a few months ago, it was still $700-$800. With his latest stupid incident that he had, they've literally dropped 50%, and they're down to pretty consistently in that 395 to 4.25 range. If one drops to 350, I'm smacking the buy it now. I'm just, so everybody's aware, I might buy another Ja Morant here. I just can't see that card getting too much cheaper. It wouldn't take much for him. He doesn't need to be in the NBA 2 years from now for me to profit. He just needs to make it back before he does one more stupid thing, have a couple of big games, his cards to go back up so I can sell them, and then it won't matter.
Yeah, I think Ja's trajectory is, I mean, people don't also realize that he's still young. He's a young kid, and he's in Memphis, you know, like maybe he should move to another city where it's not as wild, you know, like send him to, you know, the Timberwolves or something, and where it's just like a little more chill. But, you know, this guy's going to have a future in the NBA. He's got to, you know, like he's got way too much talent for somebody in his group to not look around and say like, brother, you can't hang out with us anymore because it's just not good for you, you know? And I just hope that there's one of those guys that are in his family circle that are like, we're not good for you. You know, not that we don't want to be with you, but you got to go be better than us. You know, like you got to go and do stuff that's beyond what we can accomplish. You know, you're way too talented. And so I really believe that Ja will come back around. And he's just so electric on the court, man. Like you can't think that card's not going to go up at least a double in a week if he does well, you know? So
yeah, $150. His base prism, his base, which like there's 20,000 of them.
Yeah.
I mean, those are still selling for $75. So for double on a card that has a pop of less than 300 in a silver fast break, come on. I can't see that losing any money.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a smart play. I forgot to mention like my biggest buy of the week, actually. So I'm going to have to go back. But it's a guy that I pulled the trigger on a card that I was a little bit unsure about because I was like, gosh, you know, it's kind of a lot of money. And so I was like, okay. So I ended up pulling the trigger on a Jude Bellingham card that I'm pretty, pretty freaking excited about. And I know that you love Jude as well. But here we go. I bought a Color Blast PSA 10, a Color Blast Black super short print case hit. I bought it for $570. Most of these cards are going for $600+. So even a $30 discount on a card that I love, and I think Jude is going to go up quite a bit. This is a big buy for me. Of course, like $570, that's a heck of a lot. But it's already been authenticated, and it is coming to my house. I will be enjoying a England kit Jude Bellingham card as he rides off into the Real Madrid sunset or another a club later this month. And I'm pretty excited about that. So
that is a gorgeous card. I have never owned a Color Blast. So
me neither. This is a first for me. You know, so
basically all you did was swapped your Pop 2 Maxi for that is essentially what you did. So
yeah. That's why I was excited about it. You know, I was like, okay, so I took my Pop 2 Maxi red card, put it into an Obsidian Color Blast Jude Bellingham card, which is sick. And then I ended up taking, you know, $200 of that profit and graded 25 cards. and one of them was an O'Neill Cruz auto. So it's like, it all works out, you know. But that's another guy that I am buying still, Jude Bellingham. Even if it's beyond this summer, like, Jude is going to be a stud. He's like 19 years old, and he's one of the most catalytic players that I love watching him. He can do everything on the offensive end. He can carry the ball. He's a playmaking box-to-box midfielder, but he's also scoring goals, and he's huge as well. Like, this guy is just like, he's going to be a stud for that English national team for a while.
Yeah, I could see you potentially doubling that within 6 months. That could be a $1,500 card real easy. Jeez, if he signs with the right team.
That would be incredible. Like, I would have a hard time selling it, I think, because I'm just so in love with the card. But you know, if it doubled, I'd have to consider. But we got a question here from Brian Steeler. Hey, Kendall, do you have an off the radar baseball prospect you're hot on? Most of the guys I'm targeting are a little high right now. I actually think that right now is an unfortunate time to be buying baseball cards. Between now and the All-Star break, that is the sell moment. This is something we've talked about a lot in previous seasons, but my dog is deciding to say hi here. You saw his tail come in real quick. But now is the hottest season for baseball cards that you can imagine. Unless your prospect is not playing, or if he's like, you know, it didn't work out for him, now is not the time to be buying guys. And if you're buying guys right now, it's because there's some sort of ding on their reputation, like they're injured, or, you know, they're just gone through surgery, i.e. the O'Neill Cruz scenario. So unfortunately, my man, Brian, I would stay away from most guys. This is a guy that Scott has been buying quite a bit, but I don't know how to say his first name. I think it's E-G-U-Y Rosario. He's a Padres prospect. He was pretty hot a couple of months ago and got injured. And now his autos and stuff are going for, like, people think he's – I don't know if people think he's dead or something, Chad. Like, they're going for, like, $5. So – I guess, like, I still believe that guy is going to be worth something in the future. So, I mean, that's what I would recommend, is that you find some guys that you're okay risking on. And Rosario from the Padres is somebody that I would be willing to risk on.
I've got one I'll throw out there, too. I don't know if Lefty will agree with me or not.
Let's hear it.
I've been chasing some Henry Bolte.
Okay.
Oakland A's. It's a 2022. I don't like going after the 2023 products because they tend to be too high. But Henry Bolte last year, here's another one. It's a redemption auto. But I've been picking up the ones people are redeeming them. They're popping them on eBay, and I've been getting them for $10 a piece. I've bought five of them. I've bought five of the actual cards, not the redemptions, in the last couple of months. I think that guy's got a lot of – now, his strikeout rate isn't great, so he's got to figure that out. But the guy can mash the baseball. And the Oakland just seems to turn out prospects. They'll get them to the major league. Right. They'll get them, and then they'll give them away before they turn into anything, so the big club can keep being a prospect machine. But I like me some Henry Bolte right now.
Not bad, man. I think there's a couple of guys on that Oakland team that, as they move to Las Vegas, I'm sure that the MLB will the MLB is going to do some things as the Oakland moves. They're gonna premiere them quite a bit. I mean, obviously they're getting quite a lot of run right now, and so guys like Allen and some other players are getting a lot of publicity when they wouldn't have got it previously because of how bad they are. But I think that'll continue as, you know, like Tyler Soderstrom and some of those guys come up to the major leagues as they move to Vegas. There's going to be a couple guys that really benefit from that media attention. And it's going to be unique to see which A is going to be like the guy. I personally wouldn't mind investing in some Mason Miller cards right now. He is a pitcher, but he's injured right now. But he is an electric arm out of that Oakland farm system. And he is going to pitch again. Like, Tommy John, we've seen, is, even if he does have the surgery, it's a surgery that we've seen pitchers come back from at a pretty consistent rate. You know, it's not like it was in the 90s. And so Mason Miller, if you can get his autos, I mean, he's electric. Like, it's such a cool arm out of that system. But Bolte, also 19-year-old from Oakland. I love that play. And I'd be willing to look at other guys in that system. Logan Davidson still is a name that we might recognize. And then a guy like Max Muncy is a shortstop that's probably going to be up on that team. So,
yep.
All right, man. Let's go to who we are selling, and then we got some audience questions, and then we got to get you out of here. So,
I am selling right now Denver Nuggets. Jokic, Murray, MPJ, their prices have never been higher in the last 2 years. Well, since 2021, they're not to 2021 prices yet, but those three guys, now is the time to sell. Do not wait until they win the title, and I think they are going to win the title because Boston and Miami are just an absolute mess right now. I think that Denver wins this year, but if you wait, oftentimes that's a hair too late. So this is the week. Get them listed this week and get them gone.
Yeah, I think absolutely. These Denver Nuggets, they're my favorite to win. They have been my favorite to win. I thought really the only way that Denver could have potentially lost a series against a team in the East would have been the Sixers, just because they match up bad against them. They don't match up bad against them. They just match up like play style to play style. And so it would have been, you know, is Murray or Harden going to shoot better? You know, pretty much. Right. You know, which one of those guys are, and Maxi would have been an X factor, you know, because he's a point guard that Denver doesn't necessarily have. You know, they got rid of Bones midseason. That would have been their Maxi-esque player. But I think Denver's going to run away with this. The East is that game seven. Both of these teams have had to expend all of their energy to get out of this series. You know, Miami just is going to have to spend all of their energy to get out of game seven, even though they felt super confident after going up 3-0 or 3-0. soccer talk coming out here. But, you know, even if Boston somehow pulls a miracle out and gets out of this series, they're done. I mean, they're got no energy left, I would assume. And honestly, Denver's kind of cakewalked themselves to the finals. So Jokic is just a man on a mission. He looks like the most unorthodox basketball player you've ever seen in your life, but it works. And he's got Murray there, MPJ, you know, like it's just incredible that team was able to be put together like they did. So,
yeah.
Additionally, there's still some rumblings that Luka could end up there too. And it's just like, golly, you know, how would any team compete with Luka also on that team?
So, yeah.
Insane.
Well, they could give him Luka and Kyrie, and then the team would never even make the playoffs. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, that would just be, yeah. Who knows, man? Basketball is such a weird sport because, like, I feel like the meta for winning games changes, like, every year. Mm. Like, it's like coaching can just – you can just throw a strategy out there. It's like, oh, we'll see if this works, and then you're going to win the NBA Finals. it's just super weird, you know. In the last 10 years, basketball has changed so much with Curry, and then with – now you've got bigs that are handling the ball, and then you've got bigs that are – handling the ball, but like in a totally different way, you know, not the point forward. You've gotten the point center, which the Jokic and Embiid have really excelled at, but also still being really technical as big men as well. It's just like, yeah, man, it's just crazy. Giants doing incredible things. But I'm also selling. I would agree. I don't have any Denver Nuggets cards. I got out of basketball pretty much outside of these Tyrese Maxeys that I have. But another guy that I'm selling is I'm selling all my Paxton Aaronson. I'm selling my Cade Cowell, and I'm selling my Gaga Selena. They this U20 World Cup, this American team is incredible. So we're going back to soccer again for me. This is a big soccer day for me. But this U20 men's team is probably going to win the World Cup, I would imagine. They're probably going to win the World Cup. They didn't even have a goal scored on them in the group stage. We have like I think five or six players that are logging national team minutes at the senior level, and they were able to put them and qualify them for the U-20 World Cup. So we have basically half of a national team at the senior level playing on this U-20 national team level. And it's just been super exciting to watch. Cade Cowell scored some goals last week that were just, oh man, they were just breathtaking. This team, and they're going to get stronger as they get out of the group stage. And some of the teams are releasing those players later in the tournament for, so this team is going to get stronger. And I believe that United States is probably going to win the U-20 World Cup, which is a great accomplishment for U.S. soccer, especially after a past couple of years of really shooting themselves in the foot. But it's going to be a fun summer with the U-20s winning the World Cup, and then the men's team playing for a cup as well, and then the girls or women's team going to be competing for the World Cup as well. Could be a treble summer for the United States national teams.
Yeah, if somebody beats that U-20 team, that'll be the upset heard around the world. I mean,
yeah,
Vegas, when you look at the Vegas betting odds, it's like you bet a dollar, they'll give you 90 cents back when they win because they're so certain that they're – I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's go ahead and jump to a couple of – unless you've got anything else, let's jump to a couple of audience's questions, and then we'll roll out of here. So I just want to start with Brian Steeler 714. He said, Color Blast and Kaboom for baseball. Since they're unlicensed, they seem to be pretty desirable. What do you think on that?
Well, I think
you just went crazy with some Leaf autos. So.
Well, I went with the Leaf because they were too cheap to pass up. And so far it's proving to be correct because I made money on them. But in terms of investability, flipping wise, anything that you can make money on, I don't care if it's licensed or unlicensed. The Victor Wembanyama Sports Illustrated for Kids is the perfect example there. If you can make money on it, go for it. But I think the question here is from an investability standpoint. And if you're going to invest in an unlicensed product, doing something either very short printed or very low serial numbered, such as the Flawless Baseball autos, those can have some value just because of the name recognition. I think the Color Blasts and the Kabooms will have some long-term holding value just because of what they are, the iconicness of them. I'm not investing in those as unlicensed products, but I think that they could hold some value. What do you think, Lefty?
I think if you're going to buy some unlicensed product, those have to be the ones that you go for. You know, like, it's just the. And even in that, I would be very weary of doing that. I think baseball is the highest. I don't know the exact word for it, but like baseball cards specifically seem to be in the hobby the most one kind of card is the money holder. You know, like if you look right at basketball and football, it's like you can buy a Herbert or a Burrow card of like five or six different sets, and it's all going to make money.
Right.
There's really very few things outside of Bowman first that make money in baseball. The one card that I think that I've made money on in an unlicensed product in the last year and a half, maybe, is for my birthday last year, one of my buddies got me a Donruss hobby box. And I ended up pulling a Marvel insert Mike Trout card, which was like 40 or 50 bucks, 40, 50 buck pull just because it's Mike Trout and it looks pretty awesome. It looks like it's a comic book. It's similar to like a downtown look kind of. Mm-hmm. But I pulled one of those, popped a PSA 10 on it. And so I sold it for $100, you know? So nice. It's like, even that card only sells for $100, you know? So it's like, I would just be very, very weary of that. So that's personally what I would think. Brian Steele, I think that you can make money on it. It's just not an investment that I'm willing to risk on personally.
I'm going to add from my personal collection, I tend to keep Bowman's Best more than anything else because I love the fact that Bowman's Best is much shorter printed than Bowman and Topps. I think they've got some great photos, and and even all the way back into the mid 90s for basketball, I just think Bowman's Best does it very well, and you can get them so much cheaper than you can a Bowman First. So I personally PC Bowman's Best because it's bang for your buck, but from an investment standpoint, they're never going to have the huge return on investment that a Bowman First would have, but That's why PC is a little different than flipping.
So here's an audience question that is directly related to what you have written. So you wrote this article, how to make thousands of dollars buying Justin Herbert cards. Whoa, go premium. Don't have to. So this article about Justin Herbert, there's a question from one of our buddies named Brett. He said, good article, but as I was reading it, questions were popping up in my head. Maybe other readers would have the same question. Chad has a lot of good insight, tips, and tricks, and I think it would make good content if he could include some of those. Where does he get these cards? Mainly eBay? Is that where he's finding the greatest success? What is his thought process when getting a raw card? Does he look for lots, singles, listing, misspellings, poor photos, etc.? He mentioned some of those in the episode today. What is he mainly looking for and the process when buying each of these cards? Using the centering overlay on his computer screen to evaluate centering corners are second most important, the edges. Is there a way he looks for photos to see something might be wrong with the surface since Chrome and Prism tend to have dimples? Thanks for all your insight, Brett. So as you're looking for Herbert cards, I'm assuming you also do this on Whatnot, and that might be something that we've talked about a little bit earlier, but thousands of dollars Justin Herbert cards. Obviously, there's 1.5 million options out there. How do you do this?
Well, that's a great question. And there's where there's no substitute for experience, unfortunately. Yeah. So I'm just going to be fully transparent here. I've got a 20 card Ellie De La Cruz. I had early on, I had did the Ellie De La Cruz play.
Yeah.
And I did it I have Jordan Walker as well. I've got Jordan. I have 20 Jordan Walker, 20 Ellie De La Cruz, all in the same PSA. They just moved to step 5 yesterday. I was super excited about that because I want to make sure they get him back before he gets called up or Walker gets called back up for another go at it.
Yeah.
But to be perfectly honest, with the 20 Ellie De La Cruz cards, I bought 31 of them to get me 20. Because when you're buying online, unless you're doing it in person, you can't see the dimples, the imperfections, the centering. People are pretty good at taking pictures and hiding things. And not everybody is in this hobby. There's a lot of shysters out there that are just trying to turn a buck. You know, they maybe bought a card, had it graded, it didn't grade well, they cracked it out and try and sell it. And you do that. So I did buy 31 in order to get 20 that I think have shots at 10s. And I'm hoping for at least 10 of the 20 to come back 10s because that was what the math said. But I do it from a whole bunch of different areas. You look at the pictures the best you can. Doing it in person at shows is obviously the best way to do it because you can use your eyeball. You can use, if you bring a 10 times magnifier along, you can do that and look at it in person, but you're really relying on the pictures. I use ComC. I use Whatnot. I use MySlabs. I use eBay. I use Facebook. I'm in about 100 different groups on Facebook, and I've got notifications set up when somebody flags one of the plays that I'm looking for. If somebody posts a card or mentions a name, I get notified and it takes me right to the post. So there isn't one secret sauce method that works. It's a variety. Of the 31 cards I bought of the Ellie De La Cruz, I bought them from 7 different places.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I would recommend too, is that you just buy good deals on more than you're expecting to send in. That's exactly what I did with Spencer Jones. I ended up buying, I think, 28 of them, and I did not send in 10 of them. So I only sent in 18, and then I sent in 2 Drew Jones cards as well. So it's the exact same thing that you just said. You just got to take your chance on some of these, you know, and try to look at who has a good reputation of selling cards and just go get them. So thanks, Brett, for your question. Let's take a good morning to Ziggy. Happy Memorial Day, my man. Thanks for tuning in. SP123, definitely a good question here. Long-term play. We'd love that. Laser2711, thanks for chiming in. Got a couple more questions we got to get through. This one came in on Instagram to Paul. Is there a place to see a total print run breakdown of Kaboom or Downtown short prints? Manufacturers do not tell you print run numbers on short prints and super short prints and case inserted cards. So is there a way to be 100% sure if you wanted to get a general idea? There's a mathematical formula you can use to get pretty close, but I didn't know if there was a place that I could actually go. So he said, here's a link from SCI showing how to calculate print runs. Once you calculate the approximate number of cases produced and you know these are case hits, the number of cases should be pretty close to the print run. Hope this helps. Have you ever done something like this?
Yeah, I actually helped Paul answer that question. So what you were just reading was my reply to Paul. So there is no place that you can find with the exact number.
The sports card investor advice was you?
Yeah, the sports card investor advice was me. There's a mathematical formula that I emailed Paul. The best you can do is use the formula to create how many cases were made, and then based on the fact that it's a case hit, you could assume that, you know, whether it's one per case or one per three, they do give you a pretty good idea of that, and then that'll give you a general idea. Scotty B is if you ever watch Scotty B on YouTube, he's a mathematical wizard. I think he's the one that did this formula for SCI. He's the one that I've learned my formulas from. All you can do is get an approximate close number, unless they ever come out. Maybe someday they'll come out. Now that Fanatics is all about transparency, maybe they'll someday come out and tell us. But right now it's just an educated guess.
Nice. So I did drop the link in the YouTube and Twitch comments as well, if you guys want to check that out. But thanks for the question on Instagram. Last main question, and then I got a couple. You know how on Outside the, or maybe not Outside the Lines, I forget what it is called, but they just like shoot a couple of one answer questions at the end. That's why I'm going to shoot a couple of them at you before we end today. But one last question. Many of the SGC 9.5s I've seen on eBay have at least one non-sharp corner or corner showing white. Has anyone had success crossing over cards to a PSA 10 that didn't have sharp or perfect corners? This is the card example that he gave. Obviously, you're seeing some whitening here. I also would like to point out that this is not a modern card. This is a Griffey, I believe, 91, if I'm getting 90. My... 90. So this is a Griffey 90 Topps All-Star Rookie Cup. Obviously, we've got some not white corners here. What do you think here?
No, 100% for sure. With multiple white corners on the same card, that may not even pull a nine.
Yeah. Yeah, I would keep this in an SGC 9.5 personally. I actually did my first crack and submit on a Paxton Aaronson 9.5 Aqua rookie card, and it came back a 9, unfortunately. But, you know, that's just the run. What Chad has described to us is that it's about a 60 to 70% likelihood you're going to get a 10. That's still a 30, 40% you're going to pull a 9 or maybe worse. You know, so it's not like it's 100% proof, guys. Like, I want to give Chad props for playing a numbers game, and that's what this is. But at the same time, it is not a 100% foolproof plan. So you've got to be very intentional about what you're cracking from a 9.5, especially in a card like this. Keep it a 9.5 or don't get it, personally.
Yeah. All right. I've seen 10s from other companies that are not 10s. Yeah. I mean, you have to use your eyeballs. Just because the label says it, it's the old Tommy Boy from Tommy Boy with the butcher and the guarantee on the box. You know that movie? It just because it says it's a 9.5 or a 10, you still got to look.
All right, so we're gonna blast through like two or three questions here, I expect them to you don't have to elaborate, but just give me a short answer. All right, Fanatics acquiring PWCC, big or not?
Huge.
Huge. You think it's going to be the next marketplace?
It's going to be a marketplace. I don't know whether or not it's going to be the next marketplace. I think it's just like PSA is going to be tough to topple for grading. eBay is going to be tough to top because there's, you know, just they're a behemoth. But nice. I do think they will be a very legitimate marketplace.
Good. Great answer. What is the next great move of the hobby? We've seen vaulting, grading, fractional ownership, different live stores, brick and mortar, etc. What do you think is the next great move of the hobby?
Oh boy. I think it's going to be AI and grading.
Nice. That's a good answer. Good answer. Let's see. And we got one. Rated rookie cards from Donruss used to be licensed. Now they're not. Fanatics buys Panini as well as PWCC. Will they be licensed again? Is there a play to make there?
They will not be licensed because they do not have the logos on them.
But Fanatics did buy or did negotiate some deals out there, and they did buy Panini. Does that change anything?
Maybe I'm misunderstanding that. I thought, well, what he meant was if you have a 2017 Soto Holo Optic rookie, is that going to be licensed now because Fanatics owns? The answer is no, because it didn't have the logo.
Yeah.
Moving
I think he's
forward,
saying, should I so buy that, some rated rookies because they're going to reemerge?
No, I wouldn't do it until they were licensed. That's my, you know, that's my opinion.
All right. There we go. So I had a little three-question shootout with Dr. Crack Chad here. And I love doing this show with you. Thanks for the brick wall. Thanks for everybody that tuned in and bore with me and Chad without Mr. Paul Hickey. We're looking forward to the National. We're going to be there. We've got some really cool things to put together. We have a legit booth. And so we'd love for you guys to come by and see us. And we're going to be interviewing people. We're going to be doing some live show and tells. So feel free to get your tickets and come see us. Feel free to drop any of our codes into our partners, whether thank you for, whoever, everybody, thank you to Graybo Sports Cards, and also for anybody that's getting that free 30-day trial. We'd love to hit you with some investment advice. Premium at nooffseason.com. We are here to build portfolios in an honest and familial way. Like, we want to do this in a non-sketchy, non-itchy way and be true dudes that are trying to do this. So Chad, thanks for being always an incredible source of knowledge, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
All right. Happy Memorial Day, everybody.
Let's cue that rock music.
Cue that rock music.